Before sunrise, Port of Spain trembles with music. Drums test their first rolls, bass lines throb through narrow streets, and the smell of paint, rum, and glue thickens the air. Inside a mosque camp behind Arrapita Avenue, Amara Joseph's scissors rest open on a table beside scattered sequins. Her final queen costume, Mother of Fire, stands half-dressed in feathers and steel. Detective Janelle Rao stands under flickering fluorescent light, staring at Amara's body folded near the frame. A single violet feather hangs loose from the crown. When she lifts it, a thread of hair falls free, dyed the same color, tied with surgical neatness. The lab confirms it belongs to another woman, murdered 1 year earlier during Carnival Tuesday. On Amara's workbench, a message glints beneath red thread. Art needs blood. Outside, the streets warm with rhythm. In 6 hours, thousands will dance past this door, and somewhere among them, the killer will move unseen. Chapter 1, Feathers Before Dawn. The sirens fade as dawn lifts over the city. Blue light touches zinc roofs, puddles, and the wide grin of a mural painted with carnival queens. What should be color feels drained. Janelle Rao pulls on latex gloves and steps over broken beads that crunch beneath her boots. Her partner, Sergeant Cruz, keeps photographers back while technicians tag evidence. The air is heavy with costume glue and the faint metallic scent that lingers around death. Door was locked from the inside, Cruz says. No forced entry. She let them in, Janelle answers. Her voice is even, but her pulse skips. Amara Joseph was famous, 3-time Band of the Year winner, mentor to half the designers in Port of Spain. Her murder will spread across radio by morning. Janelle notes the time, 5:38 a.m. She studies the body. No sign of struggle. A single puncture on the neck. The table nearby is too neat, threads coiled, patterns aligned. Whoever killed her worked calmly. Across town, trucks idle near Queens Park, Savannah. Drivers nap against steering wheels while dancers stretch in glitter and wire bras. The city waits to erupt, unaware that one of its brightest artisans lies cold under a sheet. Inside the camp, Janelle lifts the violet plume again, a hair tied within it, carefully knotted, not tangled by accident. Under magnification, the strand gleams like fine silk. Mala Singh from the lab crouches beside her. Definitely human, dyed synthetic purple, identical to last year's dancer case. Janelle's jaw tightens. Rene Baptiste. The same. They bag the evidence. Outside, a generator coughs, lights flicker, and for a second the mirrors on the costume frame throw ghostly reflections across the wall. Janelle flips through Amara's schedule pinned by thumbtacks, fittings, band meetings, deadlines. Every page stops on one word scrawled in the margin, procession. She writes it in her notebook. Maybe not just a word. Maybe a plan. The commissioner calls by radio before 8. The news already leaked. Reporters crowd the gate. Janelle keeps her sunglasses low, pushing through flashes and microphones. Detective Rao, is it true the costume had human remains? She doesn't answer. At headquarters, white boards fill with maps of parade routes. Janelle draws 2 red circles, Amara's camp and last year's alley, where Rene was found. The dots align along the northern edge of the savannah. When she connects them with a marker, the line curves like a dancer's arm. Cruz peers over her shoulder. Coincidence? Maybe not. Each location sits at a judging point. The clock hits 9:30. Carnival Monday has begun. Janelle changes from boots to plain sneakers. She hates how heavy they feel, like guilt. Meanwhile, a short distance away, a man stands on a rooftop above the city. His hands are stained with dye that looks almost black in the dawn light. He threads a needle with calm precision and hums to himself over the sound of drums rising below. On the ledge beside him lies a sketchbook of costume designs. Each page bears a single name crossed out in red ink. The next page is blank except for one penciled title, Queen of Ash. He slides the book into a canvas bag and disappears down the stairwell as music swells. By midday, the investigation shifts to fieldwork. Janelle and Cruz move through the savannah's north stand where vendors sell snow cones and jerk chicken. She stops at a group of designers gathered under a tarp. Their faces are streaked with paint, half joy, half disbelief. Amara was more than competition, one says. She built us. Did she mention any threats? People envy success, but not enough to kill. Another designer lowers her voice. Last week she argued with a sponsor. Private meeting. She came out shaking. Name. Couldn't hear. Male voice, foreign accent. Janelle notes it. She's seen patterns like this: money tangled in art, art tangled in ego. Back at the mobile unit, the lab sends early results. The puncture wound traces a sedative compound used for animal tranquilizers. The syringe wasn't found at the scene. She exhales. So the killer planned it, came prepared, and took what they used. Cruz looks at her. Why leave a hair? Because it's part of the message. Late afternoon drapes gold light over the city. Music thunders, feathers shimmer in motion. The world looks alive again, yet somewhere amid that joy walks a murderer who sees carnival as canvas. Janelle stands near the main stage watching bands cross before judges. She memorizes colors, patterns, movements. Every design carries a signature. Every signature could hide a clue. A costume named River Spirit passes, a cascade of blue feathers arranged in spirals. The motif mirrors the curve on her whiteboard. She murmurs, he's painting on the streets. Cruz turns. What? The parade routes. Each murder marks a point. He's building an image big enough to see only from above. They have no vantage point, no satellite feed ready, but she knows the feeling of being outpaced. The killer has rehearsed for years. She just entered the show halfway through. That evening, Janelle visits Amara's mother in Diego Martin. The small wooden house smells of nutmeg and old varnish. Photographs fill every wall, Amara at 9, covered in glitter, Amara in Paris, Amara on stage with trophies. The older woman grips a handkerchief. She worked too hard. Carnival wasn't just costume. It was her heart. Did she keep a private sketchbook or notes? Yes. Always one near her bed. They find it under a pillow. The last pages show fabric swatches glued beside sketches of headpieces. Between two pages a photograph slips out. Amara with another woman, both laughing, arms around each other, their costumes half built. Who's this? Janelle asks. The mother wipes her eyes. Renee Baptiste. The dancer who died last year. They were close. Janelle studies the picture. The two women mirror each other's poses, smiling as if captured mid-rehearsal. The killer knew both victims. Maybe worked beside them. Maybe felt betrayed by them. She closes the sketchbook carefully. Thank you, ma'am. We'll bring her justice. Night settles. Floodlights bathe the police compound. On Janelle's desk lie maps, feathers, and printed close-ups of stitches magnified to thread level. Each scene tells a story, but none yet says who. Her phone vibrates. Mala again. We finished the microtrace. The violet dye contains flakes of gold metallic powder, used only by high-end costume houses, and one fingerprint partial under the glue. Run it. It's faint, but there's a match in the old archives. Former apprentice of Amara's, Anselm Pierre. Janelle leans back. She remembers the name. Brilliant, temperamental, expelled from Amara's team after an argument 5 years ago. She opens a file. His last known address sits near San Juan, close to a cluster of fabric warehouses. She writes the warrant request. Tomorrow, she says, we wake him up before the parade starts. The streets of San Juan wake before the sun. Vendors drag carts across the road, calling out prices over the rattle of crates. In the narrow lane behind a textile warehouse, the air smells of dye and iron. Janelle and Cruz stand outside a corrugated door painted turquoise and flaking. Cruz knocks. Police. Mr. Anselm Pierre. Silence. Then a voice inside. Coming. The bolt slides. The door opens to reveal a tall man in a paint-stained apron. His eyes are calm but guarded. Rolls of fabric lean against the wall behind him, a riot of color. Janelle shows her badge. We need to ask you about Amara Joseph. His brow tightens. I heard the news. Tragic. She was the best of us. Where were you between 1 and 3 a.m.? In bed. Alone. She steps inside. The workshop glows in strips of fluorescent light. Mannequins line the back wall dressed in half-finished pieces. The scent of glue and acetone fills the room. Cruz moves toward a table where scissors and thread sit in neat rows. He points at a jar of violet dye. You use this often? Custom order. Only a few clients like that color. Janelle circles a mannequin wearing a bodice stitched in silver. Her hand slides along the seam until her glove catches a small knot. She pulls lightly. A single strand of blonde hair emerges, wrapped in clear tape. Pierre stiffens. That's not supposed to be there. No, Janelle says quietly. It isn't. They seal it in an evidence bag. Pierre folds his arms. You think I'd harm her? I worshipped that woman. She destroyed me, but she taught me everything. What do you mean destroyed? She blacklisted me. After our argument, no one would hire me. Said I was unstable. I lived off repairs while she won crowns. His voice breaks, anger trembling under restraint. Janelle studies him. Guilt can look like grief. It can also look rehearsed. Stay in the city, she says. Don't leave. They step outside. Cruz exhales. You think he's our guy? Not yet. But he's part of the pattern. Back downtown, carnival roars to life. Trucks crawl through the savanna, horns blaring, steel pan rattling like thunder. Bands pour into the street, feathers, sequins, sweat, and joy. Janelle threads through the crowd, her badge tucked away. The celebration is overwhelming, every color brighter than the last. Dancers shout greetings, unaware of the quiet where she fights against time. She stops at the edge of a grandstand. Judges wave flags, announcers chant names. The sheer beauty of it hits her, this collision of music and freedom, the pulse that refuses to die even after murder. Cruz hands her a tablet. Satellite map of the two crime scenes and Amara's route. The red dots pulse. Another new alert blinks, a missing dancer reported from Band Horizon, last seen leaving the camp at dawn. Janelle's chest tightens. What's her costume theme? Queen of Ash. The same name written in Pierre's sketchbook. She radios units. Lock down Horizon's truck. Get uniforms to their tent now. The tent is a chaos of feathers and shouting. Dancers clutch pieces of costumes while stage managers argue over lost props. In the corner, a crate sits half open. Inside, a headdress gleams with metallic feathers and streaks of black ash. Janelle lifts it. A droplet of dark dye runs down her glove, violet. Check the fitting rooms, she orders. Moments later, an officer calls from behind the stage curtain. A body lies face down in a pile of satin. No struggle. Same small puncture wound. Cruz whispers, that's number 3. Janelle stares at the costume draped beside the body. It's complete except for one missing piece, the crown. She turns to the headdress in her hands. The killer finished it for her. By nightfall, the police compound feels like an island apart from the carnival still echoing outside. Janelle sits at her desk, hair damp from the rain that came and went with the evening. The map on the wall now carries 3 red circles. The pattern expands into a curve that almost closes. She connects the points with a black marker. The shape looks like a mask, eye sockets, mouth, crown. The city itself, she murmurs. He's turning it into a face. Cruz returns with coffee. Commissioner wants an update by dawn. Tell him we're chasing a ghost with a sewing kit. You really think it's Pierre? Everything fits except motive. He hates Amara, but what about the rest? She leans forward. Unless it's not hate. Maybe obsession. Maybe he thinks he's building something sacred. Outside, thunder rolls. Rain sweeps through the compound yard, washing glitter down the drains. In another part of the city, inside a rented storage space, the killer adjusts a mannequin under a single bulb. The light hums, insects flicker against it. He speaks softly, as if to the mannequin. One more dance, my queen. Then they'll see. He threads a needle, the violet dye staining his fingers. On the table beside him lies a newspaper clipping of Amara smiling beneath her last crown. He pins it to the wall and begins to stitch a piece of black fabric, humming the rhythm of a slow calypso. Each stitch is deliberate, measured to the beat. When he finishes, he steps back. The fabric reveals a spiral pattern identical to the city map. He smiles, whispering, "Tomorrow, the city bleeds in color." Back in headquarters, Janelle receives Mala's call at 2 in the morning. The blonde hair from Pierre's workshop? It matches the new victim. Janelle's stomach knots. He's sewing hair from the next target into each costume. Meaning he had it before the woman disappeared. Which means he plans ahead. He's already chosen the next. She grabs her coat. Meet me at the lab. We need every purchase record of synthetic hair in that shade across the island. By dawn, the lists start printing. One supplier. One buyer. Same alias, Moss Artisan. Address, Warehouse District near the waterfront. Janelle pockets her badge. Let's end this before he finishes his masterpiece. The sun climbs again. Trucks idle. The second day of carnival begins with a roar. Dancers flood the streets, unaware of the hunt weaving between them. Janelle climbs into the unmarked SUV, Cruz beside her. The radio hums with steel pan broadcasts. She glances at the crowds through tinted glass. Faces painted gold, masks glittering, laughter unbroken. This city refuses to mourn, she says. Maybe that's strength, Cruz replies. Maybe that's how it survives. She nods. Let's make sure it survives today. They turn toward the waterfront as the music rises behind them, a wall of sound swallowing grief. Chapter 2, The Needle's Path. By late afternoon, the sun hangs low and swollen above Port of Spain. The city should be resting between carnival days, but tension hums beneath the music. Every television and radio repeats the same headline: designer's killer still at large. The press calls him the Moss murderer. Detective Janelle Rao hasn't slept. She stands before a table crowded with evidence bags, dyed feathers, thread samples, swabs of glue, and photos of the three victims arranged in a triangle. The air conditioning hums like a slow heartbeat. Cruz enters with fresh files. Commissioner wants results by tonight. He says the Prime Minister called. Tell him to join the search party, Janelle mutters. She flips through the new report. Forensics pulled a partial print off that mannequin. Same one from the warehouse district, same violet dye. That puts Pierre at two separate crime scenes. And still not enough for a warrant? Not yet. He's clever. He works through proxies, rentals, cash payments. Her eyes drift to the wall map. The red circles now trace a spiral curling toward the savannah. One unmarked space remains at the center, a vacant lot near the parade's end point. Cruz follows her gaze. You think he'll finish there? He has to. It's the only empty spot left in his design. Across the city, the killer moves through a small apartment lit by a single bulb. Rolls of fabric cover the floor. A radio murmurs Calypso in the background, faint under the scrape of scissors. He sews in silence, his hands sure and patient. On the wall, cutouts of newspaper clippings show the victims' faces beside sketches of their costumes. Each name is crossed out except one. He whispers as he works, final movement. Finale. Outside, fireworks crack from a test run for the closing show. The bursts reflect in his eyes. He threads another needle. The new costume glows red under the light, trimmed in feathers stained darker than dye. By 6 p.m., the police compound thrums with movement. Officers rotate shifts, phones ring, files pass from hand to hand. The commissioner's voice booms from the hallway. Detective Rao, the public's panicking. We can't let him strike during the parade finale. We're closing in, she replies. He's following the route. I want every drone and traffic cam fixed on that vacant lot by dawn. He points at her board. If you're wrong, the blood's on you. She doesn't flinch. It already is. When he leaves, Cruz shakes his head. He thinks pressure solves murders. Pressure breaks killers too, Janelle says. He wants an audience. We'll give him one. At the forensic lab, Mala lays out microscope photos. See this thread fiber? It's synthetic, imported, only used by two suppliers in the Caribbean. And look, gold flake embedded in the glue. I traced it to a local source. Where? Artisan Supply Company, downtown. They head out immediately. The sky bruises purple as the city lights rise. The streets are half cleared of masqueraders, half filled with cleaning crews sweeping glitter into piles. The smell of sweat and smoke still clings to the air. Inside the supply store, an elderly owner wipes down the counter. When Janelle shows her badge, the woman sighs. Police again? If this is about the violet dye, I already told the other officer. What other officer? He came yesterday. Tall, quiet, said he needed restock for a private exhibit. Paid in cash. Describe him. He wore a mask. Said it was for the art show theme. Carnival nonsense. Cruz glances at Janelle. Could be our guy. Could be Pierre sending someone else, she replies. Did he leave anything? Receipt pad. He tore the top sheet, but the imprint's still there. They hold it under blue light. The faint indent shows a number sequence, an address. Warehouse 19, Cruz reads. Waterfront District. Janelle folds the paper. That's our finale site. Night thickens as they drive toward the docks. The area sleeps under half-dead streetlights, warehouses hunched like tired giants. A stray dog crosses the road. The only sound is the surf slapping wood pilings. Janelle parks with headlights off. No backup yet. We'll do a quiet sweep. They move through the alley between buildings. The concrete glitters faintly with crushed sequins. A generator hums from inside Warehouse 19. Cruz whispers, "You hear that?" Music. A low rhythm leaks through the metal doors. Slow drums, not recorded live. Someone is performing inside. She signals three officers to flank the rear. On her count, they pull the latch and burst through. The sight freezes them. Mannequins fill the space, each dressed in half-finished carnival costumes. Spotlights hang from rafters, washing the scene in red and gold. In the center stands a stage made from shipping pallets. A single dancer moves slowly under the light, her body painted silver, her eyes vacant. Janelle rushes forward, gun drawn. "Police! Hands up!" The woman doesn't react. She sways as if hypnotized. Cruz reaches her first and realizes she's drugged. From the shadows, a voice drifts. "You ruined the rhythm." Anselm Pierre steps into the light, face calm, apron streaked with color. "I was almost finished." Janelle levels her weapon. "Step away from her. Look around, detective. Do you see it yet?" He gestures to the costumes around them. Each outfit bears a different hue, arranged by shade, forming a massive spiral that echoes the city map. "This is the procession," he says. "Each victim a note, each costume a chord. When she walks, the masterpiece completes. The woman's alive? For now. I had to keep her still to measure the fabric." Janelle advances slowly. "You drugged her with the same sedative you used on Amara. She was my muse. They all were." Cruz circles behind him. "Put down the needle, Pierre." Pierre's eyes flick toward him, then back to Janelle. "You can't arrest Art." He lunges, slashing with the seam ripper. Cruz fires a warning shot that ricochets off metal. Pierre drops the tool, hands trembling. Officers seize him. Janelle kneels beside the dancer, checking her pulse, faint but steady. "Call the medic," she orders. "Get her out." They escort Pierre outside. Cameras flash. Reporters have already arrived, tipped by scanners. One shouts, "Detective, is this the Moss murderer?" Janelle doesn't answer. She watches the ambulance pull away instead. Pierre looks at her, calm despite the cuffs. "They'll never understand it, you know. The symmetry, the dedication. You killed to feel seen." He smiles faintly. "I gave them beauty." She turns away as officers push him into the van. The ride back to headquarters cuts through the last stretch of carnival. Music still rolls from the streets, but the sound feels distant, muffled by glass and fatigue. Janelle watches the city lights blur across the windshield. Cruz drives without speaking. In the rear seat, Pierre sits cuffed, eyes closed as if drifting into prayer. When they stop at a red light, masqueraders dance across the intersection, bright, sweating, alive. Pierre opens his eyes. "Listen," he says softly. "That's creation. You can't stop it." Janelle doesn't turn. "Creation doesn't leave corpses." He smiles. "Everything worth remembering costs something." The light changes. Cruz presses the accelerator hard. At the compound, floodlights bleach the courtyard. Reporters wait beyond the gate, shouting questions through the fence. Inside, Pierre is led to an interview room. Janelle removes her jacket, wipes the sweat from her face, and follows. He sits calmly at the metal table, fingers tracing invisible lines on its surface. "You want a lawyer?" she asks. "Lawyers talk too much." "Then talk to me." She lays out photographs of the victims. "Rene Baptiste, Amara Joseph, Carla Morgan. Each one trusted you." He studies the pictures, almost tender. "They were gifted. They knew how to move. And you took that from them. I preserved them. Flesh fades. Fabric endures." Janelle leans closer. "You used their hair as thread. Their bodies as marks on your city map. You call that art?" Pierre tilts his head. "Every carnival dies the moment the last truck stops. I wanted one that never ended." His tone is not rage but belief, frightening in its calm. She feels the weight of it press against the room. Cruz steps in with a file. "We trace the purchases. You bought the dye, the glue, the sedative, all under the alias Moss Artisan." Pierre shrugs. "A craftsman needs materials." Janelle folds her arms. "Then you won't mind signing a confession." He looks up, smiling slightly. "You're sewing your own story now, detective. Be careful which color you choose." Hours later, the dancer rescued from warehouse 19 wakes in the hospital. Janelle stands by her bed. The woman's voice is hoarse. "He told me to pose. Said I was the finale. I couldn't move. Everything felt heavy." "You're safe now," Janelle says. "We caught him." The woman shakes her head weakly. "He said it doesn't end. He left something." That phrase chills her. "It doesn't end." Back at the station, she goes through the inventory from the warehouse again. One box stands out, logged as miscellaneous fabric samples. Inside, among folded cloth, lies a sealed envelope addressed in neat handwriting, "To the Curator of Beauty." She opens it carefully. A single photo rests inside, a new costume sketch labeled Rebirth Queen. Under it, a line of text written in crimson ink. "The next artist will know where to look." By morning, the city wakes under gray clouds. Rain cleanses the streets, washing away glitter, feathers, and confetti. Carnival is officially over. The air smells of burnt powder and wet asphalt. Janelle walks the savannah alone. Stages stand half dismantled, crews stacking wood, vendors packing carts. A thin mist curls above the grass. For the first time in days, the noise is gone. She stops where the final parade route had ended. Workers roll up banners that read "See you next year." Beneath the sign, she notices a patch of freshly turned soil. She kneels and brushes it aside. Something metallic glints. A small needle, clean and unused, pressed upright into the earth like a marker. Cruz catches up behind her. "What did you find?" "A promise," she says. "Or a threat." She bags the needle and stands. He had help. Someone still out there understands his design. "You think an apprentice? Or a fan?" He called himself a teacher in his notes. Cruz looks over the empty field. "So this isn't finished?" "No," she says. "It's paused." That evening, rain thickens into a storm. Lightning flashes over the gulf. Janelle sits at her kitchen table with a cup of cold coffee and Pierre's sketchbook spread open. Every page glows under the lamp, lines, swirls, feathers, human forms dissolving into pattern. Near the back, she finds one small drawing almost hidden. Two figures facing each other across a thread stretched tight. Below it, a caption in faint pencil. "The seam must hold." Her phone buzzes. Mala's voice crackles through. "We finished examining that glue sample from the envelope. It's mixed with fingerprints that don't belong to Pierre. Male or female?" "Female. Unknown in the database." Janelle stares at the sketchbook. In one margin, she sees a single set of initials scrawled beside a color test. KD. "Get me a list of every assistant Pierre used before Amara fired him," she says. Across the city, lightning flickers through the windows of a tiny apartment. A young woman stands before a mirror, sewing a strip of silver cloth. Her fingers move fast, confident. On the radio, news anchors announce Pierre's arrest. She smiles faintly. "Poor teacher," she whispers. "He never learned to finish." She picks up a vial of violet dye and shakes it gently until bubbles rise. Then she dips the needle and threads it through the silver cloth, humming a rhythm that echoes faintly with the sound of distant steel pan rehearsals for next year's carnival. Outside, thunder rolls like drums. At headquarters, Cruz leans against Janelle's desk. "You're not going home." "Can't. Something's missing." He points to the case board. "You have the confession, the evidence, the media calling you a hero. I don't want headlines. I want closure." She stares at the photographs again. Each victim wore a costume tied to a specific carnival theme: fire, river, ash. Now she sees the pattern differently. "It's an element cycle," she says. "He was building toward rebirth. The next one would be air or light." Cruz sighs. "Maybe the sketchbook ends it. Maybe it starts the next chapter." Her phone rings. Unknown number. She answers. A woman's voice, calm, clear. "Detective Rao. Art doesn't die in prison. Who is this?" Click. The line goes dead. Janelle sits frozen. The call came from a prepaid number inside the same cell tower area as Pierre's old workshop. She traces the address, San Juan, Block E. She grabs her coat. "We're going back out." The building is quiet when they arrive. Rain hisses on the roof. Inside, fabric scraps litter the floor, dried dye stains blooming like bruises. A single bulb swings in the breeze through an open window. Janelle walks the room slowly, scanning. Near the corner, a small radio plays low music. On the table beside it, someone has left a white feather dipped in violet at the tip. She picks it up. The underside is signed in tiny letters, KD. Cruz lowers his voice. "You think she's mocking us?" "No," Janelle says. "She's introducing herself." Lightning flashes through the window, and for a second it throws their shadows long across the walls. When it fades, the room feels smaller, the air thick with glue and rain. "We end it now," Janelle says, before she finishes what he started. Chapter 3, Last Lap. The storm breaks before dawn. Rain sweeps across Port of Spain in silver sheets and then thins to a mist that softens the edges of buildings and light poles. Carnival is over, but the city still carries its pulse. Banners hang damp and crooked. Glitter clings to drains like stars that refuse to go home. Detective Janelle Rao parks across from the National Academy for the Performing Arts. Crews roll cases into the glass lobby for a post-carnival exhibit. The show opens tonight. The theme is simple and proud. A year of moss. Amara's apprentices have agreed to display her final frame as a tribute. Janelle asked for this stage. She needs the apprentice to come to her. Inside, the building feels like a clean breath after 2 days of heat and noise. Marble floors, tall windows, the faint smell of lemon and fresh paint. A security guard nods when she flashes her badge. Cruz meets her by the freight elevator with a thermos and 2 paper cups. "You slept?" she asks. "I forgot how," he says. Mala's on site. The trackers are live. He hands her a cup. The coffee tastes bitter and honest. They ride the elevator to the service level where a small room has been turned into a staging bay. Tables hold feathers and beads under labeled lights. Technicians work with quiet focus. In the center stands Amara's queen frame on a low-wheeled base. It looks like a spine of polished steel reaching for a crown that is not there. Mala points to the rig. Decoy hair sewn into the crown mount. Micro trackers in 3 anchor points. If anyone tries to finish this, we will know. Janelle studies the frame. She remembers Amara's mother holding the sketchbook with care. She remembers the photograph of Amara and Renee laughing with glue on their fingers. The memory steadies her. A uniform steps in with a tablet. "We pulled purchase logs for Silver Lame and the exact gauge of wire Pierre used. One extra order was placed last night. Cash. Pickup window 8 to 10. Which vendor?" "Artisan Supply. Same counter where the receipt imprint gave us warehouse 19. Cruz lifts a brow. She is not hiding. She is signing. Janelle nods. KD wants the finish. She wants the last stroke. She thinks this is her inheritance. They fan out assignments. 2 officers pose as art handlers. 2 more as electricians. A plainclothes team covers the lobby and street. The plan is simple. Let the apprentice reach for the crown. Catch her with the needle in hand. The hours move slow. The sky brightens into a pale wash. Vendors outside set up carts for morning workers. The city shakes off sleep. Janelle reviews files at a side table and listens to the room breathe. She flips to the margin where she saw the initials. Katie. The lines around it are sharp and certain, not the tremor of a student. This is a hand that knows its strength. At 10:15, the lobby doors slide open. A woman in a raincoat walks in with a garment bag over her shoulder and a long case in her hand. She speaks to the desk with easy calm and shows a work order. The guard glances at the schedule and waves her through. The elevator camera gives Janelle a clear look. Early 30s. Hair pulled tight. Eyes that look at everything. No rush. No fear. "On the move," the operator says softly. Janelle and Cruz take position behind rolling partitions. The raincoat steps into the staging bay, hands the work order to an apprentice, and smiles with respect that reads as sincere. "I am here to assist with mounting," she says. "Curator sent me." The apprentice checks the paper and nods. "We have 5 frames. You can start with the tribute piece." She lifts the garment bag onto a table, unzips it, and reveals a half-built crown. Silver ribs. A halo of pale feathers tipped in a whisper of violet. The work is beautiful. Clean. Balanced. It could be Amara's language. It could also be a reply. The woman opens the long case and lays out tools. Needles set in velvet. A wire twister. Clips. She pulls on thin gloves and breathes once, steady and deep, like a singer finding pitch. Janelle steps out from behind the partition. She keeps her voice even. "Good morning." The woman glances up. "Morning. I am Janelle Rao." She lets the name hang in the air without weight. The woman's eyes flicker to the frame, then back. "I know. Your initials are KD. A small smile. You read margins. You left a feather signed under the quill." The woman nods as if pleased. "You found it." Cruz appears at Janelle's shoulder. 2 uniforms drift closer in the kind of casual way that is not casual at all. The apprentice studies the queen frame and pretends not to hear. She keeps her head down and gives the 2 women the thin grace that makers give to makers. Janelle steps closer to the table. "You studied with Pierre. For a time. You called my phone. I wanted to hear your voice. I wanted to know if you were the kind of person who would understand how a seam holds a story. What is your name?" "Kiana Das." "Kiana," Janelle says. She lets the name land with respect. "Walk me through this crown." Kiana looks pleased to talk work. She glides a hand above the ribs, not touching. "The radius is wrong. The weight will tip forward once the jewels go on. The base needs a 3rd anchor here." She taps the mount with a light knuckle. "You stabilize here. You seed hair here. You elevate here." She points to 3 parts that match the tracker map exactly. "Hair," Janelle repeats. "From the next target." Kiana's face does not change. Sometimes a piece needs a line from another piece to find balance. You mean a life, Janelle says. Kiana's gaze slides to the tools. You arrest the word. We work the form. Janelle takes a breath. The room holds it with her. She remembers the rules she set for herself. Speak plain. Hold human dignity. Never turn grief into a trophy. You are under arrest, Kiana, she says. For conspiracy to commit murder. For accessory before and after. For the attempt that brought you into the warehouse last night. Put your hands on the table. Kiana's shoulders rise and fall once. No. Two uniforms tense. Cruz shifts his weight. The apprentice looks up, eyes wide. Kiana lifts both hands from the table to show she holds no tool. Then she speaks with a stillness that chills the room. He did not finish it, she says. He turned the city into a mask and left it mute. I was going to give it a voice. You were going to take another life, Janelle says. You were going to make a crown with a cost written in blood. Kiana's eyes flash. For the first time, emotion cracks through the calm. Moss's sacrifice. You think people do this without pain. You think the body does not bleed when wire bites. You think the heart does not break when a judge misses the soul of your work. You think it is only fabric and glue. Janelle keeps her voice soft. I think it is people. I think Amara is not a symbol. She is a daughter. She is a friend. She is a teacher. You do not get to write on her with a needle. Kiana lowers her eyes. The fight drains. She nods once, a small bout of craft into truth. All right, she says. I hear you. She turns her wrists over on the table. Cruz steps in and cuffs her cleanly. The apprentice lets out a breath she did not know she was holding. Tears prick, then stop. She reaches for a cloth and covers the half-built crown like a body at rest. They move Kiana toward the door. She does not struggle. She looks around the room as if memorizing the way light sits on steel. At the threshold, she pauses. Detective. Janelle stops. Kiana's voice lowers to a fine thread. He is not the only one who thinks Carnival must live forever. If you hang this frame in a glass room, if you let tourists take pictures and walk out, you will kill it a second time. Do not make a museum of a heartbeat. She holds Janelle's gaze. Find a way to carry her again. The words land heavier than a threat. They sound like care twisted into steel. They sound like grief that chose the wrong road. Write a statement, Janelle says. Use your words, not wire. Kiana nods and lets the officers lead her away. The room exhales. Mala powers down a tracker and rubs her eyes. Cruz leans on the door frame, relief and fatigue mixing into one long breath. Janelle stands beside the frame and lays her palm against cool metal. The touch says thank you. It also says I am sorry. Outside, the rain picks up. People hurry under the porte cochere. The city smells clean and new, like a street after a baptism. Janelle turns to the apprentice. Can you finish this without crowns that taste like ash? The young woman wipes her face. Yes. Then we will carry it at sunrise, Janelle says. No music. No stage. We will walk. The apprentice nods. We will walk. Janelle calls Amara's mother. She speaks slowly, careful with every word. She asks permission. She receives a long silence, and then a yes that sounds like a hand placed on a shoulder. By noon, press buses idle outside, hungry for pictures. The commissioner tries to shift the plan into a podium and a speech. Janelle declines with a calm that does not invite argument. The parade is over. The city needs something else. They set the time for 5 in the morning. First light. A small group. No banners. No announcement until it is done. The day stretches. Statements. Chain of custody. Warrants to sweep Kiana's apartment. A judge signs quickly after the report. Officers bring back a small box of feathers, a vial of dye, and a book of sketches. Janelle sets the book beside Pierre's. Two voices. One addiction. One broken lineage. At dusk, she walks the savannah alone. The grass holds the memory of a million footsteps. A kite struggles in low wind and then falls. A boy runs to catch it and laughs when he does. His mother calls him in. The light fades to a soft blue that makes the city look kind. She sits on a bench and reads the last page of Kiana's book. A note in clean script. It says 3 lines. Carry what is unfinished. Sing the quiet parts. Do not confuse a wound with a window. Janelle closes the cover. The night breathes in. She is ready for dawn. The first hint of light creeps over the northern range at 5:30 a.m. The sky is a pale wash of gray and rose, quiet after the noise of carnival. Janelle Rao stands in the empty savanna with her hands in her jacket pockets, watching mist lift off the grass. Behind her, a small truck idles with the queen frame secured in the back. The steel glints like the inside of a shell. Cruz arrives with coffee and a tired grin. "You really meant sunrise. We said we'd walk," she answers. "We keep promises." A few apprentices gather. Amara's mother steps from a taxi wrapped in a shawl. She carries a single red feather. The officers bow their heads as she approaches the frame. She tucks the feather into a seam near the crown mount and whispers a prayer too soft for the wind to steal. "Ready," Janelle says. They begin down the eastern path. No music. Only shoes on wet grass and the murmur of breath. Vendors along the roadside pause and set up to watch. Some put hands to hearts. One man crosses himself. The city joins in silence. They stop near the bandstand where Amara's first victory photo hangs on a public board. Janelle signals. The apprentices lift the frame upright. Morning light slides through the steel ribs, turning them gold. Cameras click, but quietly. Janelle speaks once, voice steady. "This is for those who build beauty and pay for it. This is for the people who will not let art turn into harm." She lets the words fall into the open air and does not say more. By mid-morning, the commissioner arrives with press vans behind him. Reporters swarm the edges, but officers hold them back. Janelle refuses interviews. The commissioner gives one anyway. The Moss murderer and his accomplice are in custody. The city is safe. The words sound heavy with triumph. They also sound shallow. Janelle and Cruz walk away from the microphones. "He'll ride this story for a month," Cruz mutters. "Let him," she says. "We have work." Back inside headquarters, evidence from Kiana Das's apartment fills three tables. Mala stands over chemical trays, logging samples. She gestures Janelle closer. She kept everything cataloged. Every feather batch, every dye mix. Nothing random. But this, she holds up a glass vial sealed with tape. "This isn't dye. It's ash mixed with resin." Janelle frowns. "From where?" "Lab says human origin. Cremation residue." Cruz lets out a low breath. "She meant it. Rebirth queen." "Maybe," Janelle says. "But maybe she meant proof." They analyze the vial label. Two initials again, PJ. A donor from 3 years ago when Amara's team won their final crown. Janelle connects it to a sponsor who vanished overseas, filed missing, presumed drowned. She adds a fourth photo to the board. Another unsolved disappearance now folded into the same spiral of obsession. "This was never only one pair of hands," she says. "It was an idea. A creed." Mala rubs her eyes. "How do you stop an idea? You show what it costs." That night, Janelle drives alone through downtown. The streets shimmer with puddles and the ghosts of lighted trucks. Bars hum with after-carnival fatigue. She parks near the waterfront and steps out. The air smells of salt and diesel. Waves slap the quay. She takes out her notebook and writes slowly in the half-dark. People make noise to remember they are alive. Someone will always mistake that noise for a message from God. My job is to know the difference. She closes the book and watches a ship push toward open water, its lights shrinking to dots. A week later, the National Museum opens the Carnival Remembrance exhibit. Despite Kiana's warning, the government insists. The queen frame stands in the main hall, finished by Amara's apprentices without a single human token sewn within. It gleams pure silver, feathers white, crown empty by choice. A placard at its base reads simply, "The seam holds." Janelle walks the exhibit before the opening. Alone with the piece, she sees the thread of fingerprints in the polish. People who carried, built, wept. She touches the frame and feels a faint tremor, not from movement, but from the echo of work done well. For a moment she imagines Amara smiling somewhere in the weave of light. She steps back and lets the feeling pass. In prison, Anselm Pierre paints on scraps of cloth. Guards report he rarely speaks, except to hum carnival tunes under his breath. One morning a letter arrives for him without return address. The warden opens it for screening. A photo of the finished frame with a single sentence typed below. "The art breathes." Pierre laughs once, low and satisfied, then folds the picture into his pocket. Back in the city, Janelle keeps her routine quiet. Files. Coffee. Walks around the savannah. Yet sometimes, late at night, she hears a faint rhythm outside her window, a drumline practicing early, or maybe thunder. The sound lifts her heartbeat just enough to remind her the world still dances. One evening, Cruz finds her on the rooftop of the station, staring toward the mountains. "You thinking of leaving?" he asks. "Thinking of staying until it's quiet," she says. He smiles. "Trinidad never quiets. It just changes tempo." She nods. "Then I'll learn the new beat." 2 months later, a small box arrives at the precinct with no sender. Inside is a single feather, half silver, half violet, sealed in resin. Attached, a typed card reads, "Carry what is unfinished." Janelle places the box in evidence and signs the log herself. She walks out into sunlight that tastes of sea air and iron. The city hums beneath her feet. Somewhere a pan yard practices for next year's show. Children chase each other around a fountain, tossing handfuls of old confetti like snow. She smiles. "Not a wound," she whispers, remembering Kiana's line. "A window." The wind shifts. The feather in the resin catches the light, flashing once like a heartbeat.